To start us off, leaked documents have revealed that drastic cuts will be made to the Faculty of Arts and Science at Queen's University, and the Queen's community is responding. The bulk of the conversation began when a memo from the Dean of Arts and Science, Barbara Crow, sent to Artside department heads was leaked, revealing drastic cuts planned for the department in the next 2 years due to Queen's financial deficit. In the memo, it was stated that $30 million of the projected $62 million deficit is rooted in the Faculty of Arts and Science, by far the largest faculty at Queen's. The Board of Trustees and the Provost are urging the university to eliminate this deficit in the next few years. The message was followed by a long list of cuts to be made within the faculty. Some changes include departments are being asked to condense course options, streamline specializations, and limit electives. There is set to be a decrease in course options by 13% across arts and science in 2024 to 2025. Departments will not be allowed to replace retiring or resigning professors. Starting 2024 to 2025, no undergraduate course with enrollment below 10 students will run. And starting in 2025 to 2026, no graduate course with fewer than 5 students will run. With these changes coming imminently, without students being informed, the Queen's community has been motivated to speak out. The conversation has been across social media platforms, including Instagram pages like Queen's U Students vs. Cuts, and several posts on the Queen's University Reddit forum detailing the budget cuts garnering a large amount of attention. On Thursday night, Provost and Vice Principal Matthew Evans sent out a message to Queen's students regarding the cuts. The message stressed the financial challenges the university is facing, with costs for the university exceeding revenue to a, quote, unsustainable level. He largely attributed the deficit to the provincial government's decision in 2019 to cut and freeze tuition costs. The message claims they are making, quote, every effort to limit the impact on employees, end quote. Despite short-term budget balancing efforts resulting in job losses and unfilled positions, Provost Evans states, quote, we must look forward to build a long-term future for Queen's that is fiscally sustainable, where we have the dollars needed to invest in our research and education mission, which is essential for us to achieve our ambitions as a university for the future, end quote. Evans concluded the message acknowledging that achieving structurally balanced budgets will be a challenging process. However, once it is achieved, the university can continue to, quote, invest in academic excellence, end quote. Queen's Community Against Austerity, QCAA, a cross-campus alliance working to advocate against these cuts and suggest other options, hosted a teach-in from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. on Friday to inform the Queen's community of the situation and spread their message. The teach-in was widely attended, the Zoom meeting being full with 300 attendees, listening parties being hosted across campus and beyond, and the full event being broadcasted live on CFRC. Speakers at the event represented a variety of perspectives. Faculty and staff members of various departments within the faculty stepped up to say their piece. The first speakers outlined the financial situation of the university, offering alternatives other than drastic cuts.
The idea of a budget crisis is, to a certain extent, always constructed. It reflects certain calculations, but these calculations are not just fact and truth that we should accept without questioning. They reflect some subjective views, some judgments, and these can definitely be challenged, as we have just done in this presentation. So we believe that there are alternative strategies available to the university to mitigate budget pressures, definitely. And I think on top of it, we need more transparency from the university's leadership to explain in greater details and more convincingly how this deficit is constructed, and if we really need to go through these drastic cuts.
Professors spoke to the impact this will have on their departments.
So if we consider the hiring freeze plus deep reductions in term adjunct instructors and TA ships, we've been told to anticipate a 13% reduction in the number of courses taught at Queen's over the next several years. So that means that a little bit more than 1 in 10 of the courses currently timetabled will not be timetabled in future years. So that's fewer choices for students in terms of what courses they're taking, and individual courses being larger. The fact that no courses with fewer than 10 students are to be timetabled, subject to to-be-announced exceptions, that eliminates seminars in smaller programs. It also, in the case of my department, eliminates upper-level language courses. So language courses, a lot of the languages we teach don't have a dedicated major. And so the number of students in each level is necessarily less than the one before. So the students in second year Spanish is a subset of the students in first year Spanish. So that top level of courses, those are always slightly smaller courses. And in all of the languages listed that we have, so 300 level courses in Spanish, German, and Chinese, 200 level courses in Italian, Arabic, Hebrew, those are all courses that have fewer than 10 students. And so they are potential targets of this. So again, I think this is a reduction in the student experience available at Queen's, the quality of the education students have access to, the opportunities our students have, and also damages our ability to engage globally. Unless Queen's is saying that what we want to do is we want to engage globally, but we want to do that in English or maybe French, which I think runs counter to our goals of being a diverse and working away from our colonial foundings as a institution. Finally, I want to talk a little bit about morale. So faculty, staff are being asked to do more and more with less. Faculty are being tasked to teach more students with less administrative support, cuts to office support or, you know, the supplies available in an office, fewer TAs. And so I think across faculty and staff who I've spoken to, there's a real feeling of damage to morale and this being a difficult time. And what does that mean? That means that somebody doesn't have the energy or the enthusiasm to create opportunities for students in classes and outside of campuses, at classes. So that damages, again, the community and the opportunities we have on campus and as a campus community.
Postgraduate and undergraduate students also spoke to how this will impact their experiences at Queen's.
And I cannot stress that enough, that students are not, and I mean undergraduate students and graduate students, graduate workers, were not responsible, neither for the cost of living crisis nor for the budget deficit. And absolutely, we are not the ones that will pay for that or can pay for that. We cannot afford to pay for that. This is... like we're at the very end of the rope as it stands. And hearing that we are supposed to now pay higher tuition is just, it's criminal. Again, it is criminal. And I think the only thing that we can do, and Kelly already talked about it, the only strength we have is in collective bargaining and collective action.
It is so obviously immoral for the university to continue to make offers to students to programs that will not exist in their advertised form next year, leaving these students wondering how they will be able to complete their degrees. Already, we are beginning to hear from students who have accepted their offers from Queen's in just the last few weeks, which is well after these changes were detailed to the faculty, but before they were leaked. And these students were left to discover for themselves that their planned majors may not even be viable once they arrive. The transition to university is difficult enough for students without finding out that you've been deceived by the institution to which you're about to dedicate the next 4 years of your life. This doesn't just affect current and future Queen's students, but past ones as well. As Queen's reputations plummet, so does the value of the degrees completed here. I have friends who have graduated who are now worried that the prestige of their degree will plummet. I have others who say that they would not have been able to pursue the studies that they are now, had these cuts come into effect even a year, 2 years sooner.
QCAA has also launched a petition to the Board of Trustees urging them to pursue alternative measures. Coming up on Monday, December 11th, there will be a Faculty of Arts and Science town hall with Provost Evans to discuss the topic. The meeting will be held in Biosciences Complex Room 1101 and be hosted virtually from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m.
So I think the hope, my hope and the hope of people involved in this conversation, as the last presenter said, I think it's great that we can have a conversation as a campus about what's important to us. What are we hoping to do as a university? I think our hope, my hope is that the Board of Trustees and the Provost can sort of look at how the ways that they're approaching the budget situation are affecting our academic mission. I think that these are people with what I hope or trust is the best interests of Queen's in their minds. And we need to have a conversation as a community about what is most important to us and how can we sustain our research, teaching, and learning mission as an organization in the context of maybe cuts that we need to make, maybe even some that we want to make. but that we take the time to make those changes in the best way for us as a community and Queens as a university.